Would you join me in a word of prayer? Let's pray. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth this morning, the thoughts of our minds, and what we feel in our heart would be acceptable to you. Pray, Father, that you would protect me from me, and that Jesus would be the one exalted through these words and through this message this morning. Unplug our ears, unplug our hearts, that we could receive what you'd have us to receive this morning. For it's in Jesus' sweet and precious name we pray. Amen. I want to invite you this morning to take out of your worship program. There's a little outline in there. It's an outline of what I'm going to be talking about. And so you can follow along and take notes if you wish. And you can revisit it. You can write down special things that stand out, so forth and so on. Now, I don't know about you, but Easter is one of my favorite holidays. I especially like Easter even over against Christmas. I think I like Easter over against Christmas because, you know what, there's a whole lot less expectation when it comes to Easter. There's a whole lot less stress when it comes to Easter. I mean, with Christmas, you know, you got all this stuff, you know, writing Christmas cards, preparing to go to parties, buying gifts. You all know how it goes. All that stuff going up to Christmas. And while Easter has a season of preparation, right, a religious season of preparation, and while Christmas has a religious season of preparation too, it seems that Christmas, more so than Easter, also has a kind of a commercial season of preparation where, you know, they're bringing out all the Christmas stuff 3 months and even earlier than when the actual holiday is going to be. And so with Christmas, you have all this stress thrown into it. You have all this busyness that's related to Christmas. But with Easter, we don't seem to have nearly that stress. So that's why I kind of prefer Easter over Christmas. And most oftentimes at Easter, you get to be with family too. But I do know this, that no matter whether it's, you know, Easter or Christmas or Memorial Day or Labor Day or whenever it is in our lives in the calendar, any time during the calendar and any time in our lives can be a time when we get overwhelmed. You know, while holidays can make it worse, we can be overwhelmed any time of year. Now, I don't have to explain what it means to be overwhelmed to you all. Being overwhelmed and living in a state of being overwhelmed is something that people who live in this community, and I imagine that this community isn't different from a whole lot of other communities, but people that live in this community are quite used to. You know, being overwhelmed has just kind of become part of the fabric of our society. That there's so much stuff out there that can make us feel overwhelmed. In fact, some of us get caught in a cycle of being overwhelmed. Have you ever kind of talked to those folks? They always have something going on in their lives that has overwhelmed them. But it's real easy to get overwhelmed because so many things have the potential out there to overwhelm us. You know, busyness is perhaps the worst thing. Busyness is perhaps the biggest culprit when it comes to making us feel overwhelmed. I mean, between what you have to do at work and perhaps your busyness at work, and then how you have to come home and have responsibilities at home, it's easy then to kind of become submerged and become drowned in busyness. But there's other things that can overwhelm us. There's things like finances, you know, with the mortgage or the rent that's a few days overdue, or the credit card bill that keeps getting larger and larger, and all the other financial obligations that you have. And then there's relationships, right? Relationships can be downright overwhelming. Relationships that, you know, we have in our marriage or romantic relationships. Not that those are two different things all the time. But all kinds of relationships. Relationships we have with friends, with family. Relationships we have with people at work. The relationships we have with people at work can be downright overwhelming sometimes. There's so many things in our lives that can make us and leave us feel overwhelmed. But here's the problem with being overwhelmed. And this problem happens on a couple of different levels. Here's what the result is of being overwhelmed in this life. There's a spiritual result. There's a spiritual effect. The spiritual effect with being overwhelmed is that being overwhelmed all the time robs us, you see, of the joy that God intends for our lives. Being overwhelmed robs us of the abundant life that Jesus came to bring and that he gives to us and he wants us to experience. Because when we're overwhelmed all the time, whether it's because of busyness or finances or relationships or anything else under the sun, it's hard to break through all that stuff and claim the joy that's ours in Jesus Christ. The other spiritual side effect, though, when we're always overwhelmed, is that we begin to focus inwardly. We begin to think it's all about us and all about the problems that we have, and we begin to lose focus on Christ Jesus. We begin to lose focus on God, the one who can himself overcome are being overwhelmed. So that's kind of one level that the effect of being overwhelmed operates on. But there's another level. There's a physical level. Being overwhelmed on a regular basis affects us physically as well. Doctors have studied this stuff. And being stressed because you're overwhelmed by whatever it is can lead to a whole host of physical ailments. It's no coincidence in our day that there's unheard of levels of depression, hypertension, heart disease, type 2 diabetes, obesity, osteoporosis, alcoholism, drug abuse, road rage, violent behavior, people losing control over minor incidents, headaches, crazy preachers, the list could go on. But the truth is, it's all related to this idea that we're often overwhelmed. It's related to this idea that we experience excessive stress in our world. Now, I imagine that for those first followers of Jesus, being overwhelmed was not something that they were unfamiliar with. Being overwhelmed and feeling that stress and having it all come down on them was not something that they were unfamiliar with when they went to the tomb and they remembered all that they had experienced the week before. Mary, Peter, and John, and the other earlier followers of Jesus Christ, when they went to that tomb where they had put Jesus and he wasn't there, they must have thought, what in the world is going on? What is happening here? The Bible tells us that even as they looked into the empty tomb, they still didn't quite understand all that Jesus had said. You know, Jesus had said that he would die and that he would be raised up, but it just didn't click. Talk about being overwhelmed. It was a bad week for everybody. The week before they found Jesus gone from the tomb, it had been a bad week. I mean, the week started off pretty well with something that we call Palm Sunday, where Jesus came into the city of Jerusalem for the last time, and all the people gathered around. They began to praise him. They said, Jesus is here. The Messiah has come. And they took the palm branches, and they laid them down, and they said, praise be to God that he's come. But just a few days later, those same people who were saying, praise be to God that Jesus is coming in, when Jesus was on trial, they said, crucify him. Crucify him. And then that week, they had a strange meal with Jesus where they gathered with him in an upper room, and Jesus took bread and he said, this is my body. And he took a cup and he said, this is my body. And then he whipped out that towel and that wash basin and an ultimate teaching of service and what it means to be in service. He began to wash his disciples' feet. The Lord washed the disciples' feet. And it was at that supper when, you know what, he took a piece of bread and he said, I'm going to give this piece of bread to the one who's going to betray me. And then that one went off and he brought back Roman soldiers and the religious officials, and he went up to Jesus and he kissed him. And that was the one that gave them the clue that this is the one you're to arrest. And so they arrested Jesus and they took him away and they put him on trial and they convicted him wrongly. And when the time came when, as they did every time there was a Passover festival, the Roman government would release one prisoner. And Pilate asked the people, who should I release, Jesus or this other guy named Barabbas, who was a common criminal, who had been convicted of killing somebody else during an insurrection. And do you think the people said, we want the Son of God, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords? No, they said, we want Barabbas. And so Pilate then said, well, okay, well, I'll have Jesus whipped and beaten, and then we'll take a crown of thorns and we'll stick it on his head to mock him because he said he was the King of the Jews. And they took Jesus and they put him on a cross. They nailed him to a cross between two thieves until he gave up his spirit. Church, it had been a bad week for the followers of Christ. It had been a time when they were overwhelmed. The Bible tells us, indeed, that they were so overwhelmed that at the end of that reading that Melissa read, it said they had locked themselves away. They were so overwhelmed with all that had transpired. They were so overwhelmed that that tomb was empty. They were so overwhelmed with fear that they locked themselves behind closed doors for fear of the authorities. But I want us to notice something. I want us to notice what happens to these overwhelmed people. These people that had experienced the horrors of that whole week, where the one that they had followed was betrayed, crucified, and then there was these reports that he had risen. Because if we continue to read the stories after the stories that Melissa read, what we would find is that as Jesus was raised from the dead, he came to his overwhelmed followers and he helped them to overcome their being overwhelmed. You know, we hear that when they were behind those locked doors, that Jesus came through those doors. And as he came through those doors, he said, my peace I give to you, to those overwhelmed people. And he didn't just give them their peace, his peace, but he also gave them a purpose and a mission. Here they are, overwhelmed with all that had gone on. And Jesus says, as the Father sends me, so I'm going to send you. And so he gives them a purpose and a mission. Sometimes we forget, when we're overwhelmed, that God has still given us a purpose and a mission. And so by giving them a purpose and a mission, Jesus is helping them to begin to overcome being overwhelmed. You know, but then there was one of the guys, that was a follower of Jesus that didn't happen to be in that room when Jesus came behind the locked doors. And he said to the other people that when they said, you know what, Jesus came, he said, until I take my finger, and until I put it into the hole in his side where the nails went, then I won't believe myself. Well, you know what Jesus did? He appeared again. He appeared again to this guy named Thomas. And this guy named Thomas, who was overcome, who was overwhelmed with unbelief, who couldn't believe it, he helped Thomas overcome being overwhelmed. And remember Peter? Remember the follower of Peter? You know, Peter must not have just been overwhelmed in those days, but he must have been carrying all this shame. He must have been carrying all this guilt, because Peter had said to Jesus, before Jesus went to the cross, he said, look, Jesus, I'm going to have your back. I will never leave you. I'll never abandon you. I'm going to be with you through the whole time. And as the story goes, he didn't quite have his back. In fact, he denied him three times. Not once, but three times. He said, I don't know who this Jesus is, when people confronted him. Well, if we read on in our Bibles, what we would find is that Jesus goes to Peter and he restores Peter. He frees Peter from his shame and from his guilt. He frees Peter from being overwhelmed with shame and guilt. And he gives Peter a mission. He says, Peter, feed my sheep. And then there was the time when all the followers of Jesus were gathered together. And they were studying their Bible. They were worshiping together. They were eating together. They were sharing community together. When all of a sudden, the promised Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised, came upon some overwhelmed followers. And those overwhelmed followers, when they received the Holy Spirit, became the greatest force in history. The reason that we are gathered here today, on the day of Pentecost, the ones who were locked behind closed doors, those who were kind of huddling and cuddling because they had great fear, all of a sudden, they became history makers. All of a sudden, they had a fire that was lit within them. Though they were overwhelmed, through Christ, they overcame being overwhelmed. Friends, the point today is this. It's that Jesus' resurrection makes clear. He has overcome all things. And He has overcome our being overwhelmed in this world. That through the power of His resurrection, through the power of what happened, Easter, 2,000 and some odd years ago, that Jesus gives to us that same power so that in life, when we are overwhelmed with the busyness and the expectations of life, so that in life, when we face the financial hardships and it seems like we're going to just drown in it, so that in life, when we are battling relationship problem after relationship problem and we feel overwhelmed by it all, that we can overcome by the power that's available to us because the victory has been won. Just like Jesus did for those first followers that He had who were overwhelmed, so He stands ready to do for you and I today. So you find yourself overwhelmed in life because you're drowning in the details of work and family, take heart that in the midst of the craziness, the one who brought good and won the victory out of the craziness that was the last week of His life wants to help you get and set your priorities straight. That one wants to help you overcome your overcommitment. That one wants to help you learn to make good choices so that you can go down the road of life, not down the road of being overwhelmed, but down the road of knowing the life that God intends for each and every one of us. When you find yourself overwhelmed by financial issues or caring for a sick parent or whatever life throws your way, think back to the time. Remember the Jesus who went to His followers and restored them when they were overwhelmed. As overwhelmed people living in the 21st century, you might sit there and ask yourself today, who should give a flip about what happened 2,000 years ago? Who cares about this fanciful story of a man that seemed to be dead and then people said he was alive? Well, I want to tell you it's because without the resurrection of Jesus, he's just another man who's dead, church. Instead, because of the resurrection of Jesus, what we celebrate on Easter, we know he lives. We know that He's alive, and that He's by our side, that He walks with us and talks with us. When we're overwhelmed, He's there. You know what? When everybody else turns their back and kicks us in the hiney, He's still there. He's our rock and our refuge. When we're faced with whatever overwhelms us, He's there. No matter how many people turn their back. The resurrection of Jesus, Easter, also tells us that there's nothing that you and I are going to face that He can't overcome in our lives. Because you know what? There's absolutely nothing. Not death, not busyness, not bills, not relationship problems, not anything in all of creation that He can't overcome in our lives. The power to overcome such things He gives to us. His resurrection also means, you know what? There's hope. There's always hope. In the darkest day, when He hung on that cross between those two thieves, when the clouds gathered around, and when the clouds gather around in our lives, there's still hope. Because you know what? Just as God was in the business 2,000 years ago of taking an awful situation and turning it into something good, so He stands ready to take those hard situations, that of being overwhelmed in this life, and turning it into something good. It's hard to see when we're going through it, but know that our King, that our Jesus, is the one who does that on a regular basis. Now, in the next few weeks, we're going to be involved in this message series called Overwhelmed, and I've introduced it to you this morning by letting you know that we don't have to live lives anymore that are overwhelmed because the victory has been won. But we're going to be looking at the Bible and seeing how it is that we can overcome being overwhelmed by overhauling our priorities, by overcoming family frustrations, overcoming overcommitment, and finally turning things over to God. So I don't know where you are this morning. Perhaps you're sitting here this morning on Easter 2008 and you're simply overwhelmed. Or maybe, you know what, you've been overwhelmed in your life before and you are fairly smart and you know that there's going to come another time in your life when you're overwhelmed, when it all seems to be crashing in. Or maybe you have a coworker or a friend who's going through some times that's overwhelmed. Well, you know what? I want to let you know the good news, and I hope you'll let them know the good news, that the victory has already been won. And I want to invite you, if you're there, if you're overwhelmed, or you know somebody that's overwhelmed, get them here these next few Sundays so the power of Christ can be revealed. And we can know with a sure and certain heart that the victory has already been won. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you're not a God that sits on the sidelines. That no, indeed, you are actively involved in our lives, in the lives of this community. And that your desire for us is life. Lord, we pray that you would free us from the shackles of being overwhelmed. That you would break the bonds of busyness in our lives. That you would shatter the worries and the problems over financial issues, and that you would make right relationships.